Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Doc Griggs, and I'm a community medicine doctor and health literacy expert. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health literacy and communications expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know about COVID-19.
You can find more information about this show and our other daily live updates and Q&A show at noisefiltershow.com.
So let's get started.
So welcome to COVID Noise Filter. My name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and we are so happy to have guest co-hosting with us, Nurse Julia. Welcome to the show, Nurse Julia.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be coming on board with you guys.
Thank you so much. And now on to the show.
Diaper banks. One of the most overlooked issues many parents are currently facing is the shortage of diapers. Since the start of the pandemic, the need for diapers has dramatically increased. Many families have had negative economic experiences in the past year, and they're not able to meet basic needs.
Yeah, I mean, before the outbreak, a third of families could not even afford diapers, and most of the diaper bank clients live below the federal poverty line. Now, throughout the pandemic, millions have lost their jobs and are living vulnerably. Among this group includes many retail and hospitality workers who depend on diaper banks. Further, many families no longer have access to daycares and preschools, which were also potential diaper providers.
In 2020, there was a 67% increase in the distribution of diapers to diaper banks. Public aid programs don't usually cover diapers when figuring out aid, which could cost upwards of $80 a month. Diaper orders are on a backlog and can take up to months.
My goodness. A lot of access to diapers have health implications as well. When children are in diapers for too long, they run the risk for painful rashes, urinary tract infections, and just other basic sanitary issues. This can have negative influences on their physical and their mental development as well. I can't imagine what it's like to have to sit in my own urine and feces for hours on end. And boy, does this really make my heart break.
Yeah, diaper banks have done many things to try and mitigate the effects of diaper shortages while also remaining safe during the pandemic. They have used services such as drive-throughs, house drop-offs, and the U.S. Postal Service. These banks also work with social workers to help vulnerable families join parenting and nutrition classes such as WIC and SNAP.
That's right. More permanent solutions are needed, however. No federal or aid program covers diapers, which is crazy. So I want to repeat that again. No federal or aid program covers diapers. Why? Why would that be the case? To increase sustainability, the government needs to provide some funding towards diaper banks. Some banks have tried lobbying congressional representatives to include diaper funding into the stimulus aid, but they did not have success. So there are negative implications for a lack of access to clean diapers. And again, this is a story that will continue to follow. Body mass index and COVID-19 vaccine. Just to let you guys know, we will be using the abbreviation BMI, which again stands for body mass index. Many cities are expanding the vaccine eligibility requirements to include people with a BMI of 30 or higher. So essentially what that means is that these are folks that are considered either overweight or obese, and this is actually considered an underlying condition and increased risk for COVID-19. Obesity has been linked with severe illness and hospitalizations, and I will add mortality from COVID-19. And then also let me add, not only from seasonal flu, but from the past couple of influenzas that we had that were pandemic-prone influenzas like avian flu as well as swine flu. So obesity is really a risk factor when it comes to some of the viral pandemics that we've seen this century.
Body mass index has been widely debated about its use in determining or assessing health, but some obesity medicine physicians do believe it can be a good measure for figuring out who needs to be prioritized for the vaccine.
That's right, Julia. Over 42% of the United States population are considered obese. Holy smokes. And this disproportionately affects the Black and Hispanic communities, communities that have also been affected for the worst during the pandemic. Now, fortunately, because of the pandemic, more people are being aware of the negative consequences of obesity and are more willing to address it.
This expansion has led to some potential controversy, however. People with obesity or overweightness are facing stigma and feelings of shame and blame. Many are hesitating to receive the vaccine because of internalized fat phobia sparked from the systemic issues around size and weight. Fat phobia is apparent everywhere from clothing stores to even the doctor's office. Many often feel they don't deserve to receive the vaccine because it was their fault they are this size or weight.
Now, obesity is a real disease and needs to be distinguished from being labeled as obese, which often perpetuates the stigma. It needs to be considered as a comorbidity or underlying issue, the same as much other issues. And let me just add that obesity is actually a function of poverty, and this is not something that we need to see that overweight as a moral failure. We need to be thinking that these are considered chronic conditions likely related to poverty that we see here in this country, like none other that we see in other industrialized countries. Nations that had loose versus tight restrictions and their pandemic responses. Now, a recent study published in the journal Lancet looked at differences between countries' responses to the pandemic in comparing their cultural, quote-unquote, looseness versus tightness. Now, loose and tight refer to the strength of social norms. For example, culturally loose may refer to a country with more relaxed social norms and fewer restrictions. On the contrary, culturally tight countries have more strict rules coupled with harsher societal consequences. Now, the Lancet study found that countries that were on the quote-unquote tight side of the spectrum had fewer cases and deaths from COVID than those from culturally loose countries. That's really interesting, Nurse Julia.
More specifically, the Lancet study found that nations with high levels of cultural looseness have about 5 times the number of cases and nearly 9 times the number of deaths compared to countries with high levels of cultural tightness. The study cross-examined 57 countries during the fall of 2020. Countries such as the US, Brazil, and Spain were identified as culturally loose, while others like Taiwan, Singapore, and South Korea were labeled tight. The tighter 3 countries had remarkably lower numbers of cases and deaths.
Indeed. The data suggests that tight cultures may be better equipped to deter the effects of the pandemic. With universal rules and higher consequences, culturally tight countries have maintained a more uniform response to combating COVID-19. On the other hand, culturally looser countries have struggled to maintain a universal response across the country. Take, for example, mask wearing in the US. Some places require them while others don't enforce them.
One author from the study emphasizes that we are not to mistake authoritarianism for tightness. She offers that there's a bit of ambidexterity in that there are certain scenarios in which tightness is appropriate and others in which looseness is better. There is a balance between the two. She urges people to look at the benefits of tightening up social norms as a means to provide a speedier recovery from a universal crisis like the pandemic. We all need to be on the same page to get past this crisis.
Yes, indeed. Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Dr. Derry and I have a daily show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time where we go into more detail on stories and answer your questions about COVID-19.
You can find Doc Griggs at DocGriggs1 on social media, and you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at DRDERY. You can follow us at NoiseFilter on Instagram, NoiseFilterNola on Twitter, and for more information about us and the show, you can go to NoiseFilterShow.com. Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving. And remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.